just got the popcorn.
This thing had better have hot guys or cool science, otherwise I'm out of here.
Wow, she kind of looks like my ex.
Damn it, Rod. Now I'm going to be sick when she gets naked later.
Hey, hey, and welcome back to Movies in the Buff, where we strip down, objectify, and thoroughly violate your favorite movies. Here is your team of debauchery, lovely Lisa.
Speaking of violating, Mr. Russian, please don't ever do that hip thrust again.
Oh, and crazy Carl.
You know, if I'd have gone to school with Edward Norton, I'd have never had this problem. I'd have shot his ass first.
I'm glad I'm not the only one who thought that. And, of course, Sexy Scully.
Yeah, this movie had more addicting chips than a Pringles can.
Amen.
Wow. And
speaking of Pringles, now I'm hungry.
I know.
Jeez. You know, honestly, every time
I did want Pringles after watching this, though. I was like, I'm never going to eat an Oreo again, but I really want a Pringles.
Actually made me want Oreos, which is kind of weird, now that I think about that.
I don't think I could ever eat an Oreo again after watching him eat that.
You know,
the hip thrusting was one thing. God, that was...
The cunnilingus on an Oreo?
That was... Yeah, that really was. That was...
That's exactly what it was. Like, he's performing cunnilingus.
Inappropriate rape by going there. That poor
I was also
Oreo
expecting those Oreos to start talking to him, man.
I know.
The worst that part.
Oreo holds it up to his ear to open it. What, is it talking?
He can hear the ocean. Anyway.
He's hearing the Oreo stream. They're quiet.
All I can think of the whole time with the Oreos are the old black and white Oreo commercials with that song. I cannot remember any lyrics, but I can remember the tune. Anyway, hearing that song and have one of those old informational sex ed videos with an Oreo.
Like, I would have attended sex ed class if there was Oreos.
Oh, jeez. You'd never eat an Oreo. Be like scarfing down an Oreo and see that video of the chick having the baby.
I never had to watch that. Mostly because we had all the farm animals.
We're
not gonna go there.
Okay, so also I was gonna say, Scully, I every time I introduce you, I really just want to do the whole Boondock Saints Sexy Scully.
I like Boondock Saints. I like Boondock Saints.
Okay, so moving on into our like and dislike.
You haven't even said what movie we're doing yet.
It has something to do with Oreos and an Oreo commercial.
And okay. A Russian doing the hip thrust.
Yes, and a Russian. Oreos and a Russian.
Before you think that we're doing some kind of weird, creepy Shiza porn.
No, that's what Scully's doing later.
Yes. Anyway, we are picking rappers. Fueled by his penchant for high-stakes gambling, law student Mike McDermott, best friends and befoes, befriends and befoes a fellow gambling addict named Worm and club owner Teddy KGB, but tensions run high when Worm and Mike only have 5 days to come up with $15,000.
That's a really bad synopsis of this movie.
That is a terrible synopsis.
Yeah. Befriends and befoes. Friends growing up.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with IMDb's one here. A young man is a reformed gambler who must return to playing big stakes poker to help a friend pay off loan sharks. That's a better synopsis.
Oh yeah,
right there.
Netflix, and that's part of the reason why I read these is because Netflix like lets me down every time on synopsis. Wow, what the fuck?
What's really funny is the reason we started doing Netflix's synopsises was because IMDb's were so bad at our first few movies.
Yeah, I just realized on my recommended based on your interest in this, I got Ace Ventura, Pet Detective, Caddyshack, and Mallrats.
Really?
Explain any of those and how they have anything to do with Rounders.
I have no idea. Okay. Mine at least makes sense.
Really any. They might have some actors in common, but not like main line by any means.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah, and please, dear God, don't watch Ace Ventura.
Yeah.
I forgot to do this the past couple of episodes, and I was reminded not too long ago that I had said I was going to be doing this from now on, the top review on Netflix for this movie. So let's just...
Nice.
Yeah, I actually got reminded the other day. It's like, why aren't you doing the reviews anymore? You did it once, and then you didn't do it. I was like, son of a bitch. So this is just for you. You know who you are. I'm so not saying your name. Mm-hmm. But...
Mom.
No, actually, it's a guy I work with. So for reminding me of this, and I know you're probably going to be listening to this episode, fuck you very much. And I'll continue reading. Simply an amazing film and certainly the most underrated films out there. The movie is set in New York City, both in the underworld and illegal card games, as well as the above-ground mix of everyday life and the havoc you wreak when you choose to intermingle the two. Wow, that is a way better synopsis of this movie.
Actually, yeah.
The movie, very literate.
Yeah. The movie to me follows a more of a life strategy, more so than that of a card game. Really poor wording there, man.
Yeah.
The movie follows the lives of several characters. I'm getting very repetitive. Of several characters, including Damon as his usual quiet, unassuming self, but this time he has quite a knack for cards. Thank you. Norton plays the part of a loser to perfection and delivers an incredible performance of a con man recently released from the joint. Why is joint in quotations?
I don't know.
At which
he's not from the United States, then.
Honed his card skills, also in quotations.
Well, that one I understand in quotations. Cause...
That man did not have card skills.
He had skill with cards. They just weren't the kind of card skills that you usually are talking about.
To a fine point, John Malkovich also delivers a fine performance of a Russian outfit guy who apparently you don't want to get on his bad side, and he is potentially linked to the Russian KGB.
I don't want to be on his good side either. Just got to say right now, don't want to be on that one either.
Kidding. The interesting piece of characters somehow come together beautifully in what is displayed as an on-screen...
And what is displayed on the screen?
It's nothing short of amazing. How they can take a movie about these totally different people in a card game and meld them together in the way they do and create a masterpiece of filmmaking that will have you holding onto your breath with the final minute of the movie. You don't need to be a card buff to enjoy this flick, but you definitely need to rent it.
Wow. Yeah, that is kind of terrible.
Yeah. Anyway.
I was not holding my breath. I knew how this movie was going to end.
Yeah, I mean, I saw the same thing in Good Will Hunting.
Hey,
I lasted like 10 minutes before making this comment.
I swear to God. Okay, the only similarities between this and Good Will Hunting is Matt Damon playing a similar character. Seriously.
You know, Rod, you didn't last 10 minutes. You almost lasted 8.
Yeah, and seriously, the entire, all of Good Will Hunting is, you know, people around Matt Damon's character trying to change him and, you know, make him live up to his potential and him, you know, working against that. You know, all of this whole movie is him having to deal with the fact that his best friend is an asshole.
No, this one's and definitely himself- about him trying to hide from his potential. Not only does he get, like, giant flags saying, quit school! Why do you do this? You're better at cards.
Yeah.
Then, like, it's entirely the same thing. You just start out the movie with what caused him to not want to do that anymore.
Yeah.
Unlike Good Will Hunting, where you don't get to see it.
Well, I get where Carl's going. I mean, look at his girlfriend.
Yeah.
He promised you'd never go back to a card game.
Yeah, he was holding on, he was trying to hold on to his life as... instead of realizing that his life was the thing he was giving up, not the thing he was trying to hold on to.
For the record, I'd rather not look at his girlfriend.
Actually,
I thought she was good.
She was really good and cute.
I didn't think she was attractive at all.
She's like the only girl I've seen in a very long time who, in the 80s, was cute with short hair and did really well with it.
She's not from the 80s.
This isn't from the 80s.
This is 90s. Yeah.
There you go.
Rod, you just have too high of standards, but we've already established this.
Yeah.
No, that's beside the point. And now our entire audience knows that fact. However, I have to admit, in her IMDb picture, she still doesn't look good at all.
Mm. She doesn't look as good as she did in this movie, I think.
She's definitely... Now, I will grant you, she's definitely one of those people that has the more animated facial features. Mm-hmm. So without the movement, she doesn't look as attractive. For example, the chick that plays Angela Montenegro in Bones. who, if you ever actually look at it still frame, she's not that attractive. But the expressions and the animation is what makes her so hot.
Yeah.
And she's definitely one of those people, I will grant that. She's just not quite there. On the completely opposite side of that coin, we do have, and I'm going to butcher this, Famke Janssen.
Janssen.
Yes.
Petra.
Who is, oh my God, even at her age now, jeez, the things I would do to her are illegal in 12 countries, including Amsterdam.
Yeah, and she plays, oh yeah, Jean Grey. I knew I recognized her.
I first noticed her when she played in GoldenEye. Years and years and years ago. Come on, somebody say it.
Nope.
Ah,
not touching it. Let's move on with Rounders.
Anyway, but yeah, definitely the characters in this movie, I will grant you, are extremely animated characters, and I love that about this movie. Even the quietest, you know, creepiest guy who's walking around the table in this opening scene, by the way.
Gnish?
Yes. He is still so animated.
Transformers?
Yeah.
I forgot. I'm just waiting for him to
pass. I knew him somewhere. It's like, where do I know him from?
Yeah. I forgot he was Simmons from Transformers.
Spaz. I was like, come on, spaz out. You're never going to spaz out, are you?
Actually, I always remember him from Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? More than anything.
See, I don't remember him from that, but then, you know, I've never sat down and watched Oh Brother all the way through.
Yeah. Me either. Which, I've caught maybe 5 or 10 minutes here and there.
I've seen the whole movie. I've just seen it, you know, a half hour here, a half hour there.
See, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? And I'm just going to say this and then drop it. But Oh Brother, Where Art Thou was, it combined two of my favorite things, the Odyssey and bluegrass music. So,
yeah.
No. There it is. It's out there. I love bluegrass music. Fuck you all. Anyway.
You're not the one who actually learned to play most of those songs that went to the soundtrack on guitar. So, congratulations.
Okay, now I want to hear Scully play I Am a Man.
Yeah.
I do not own a guitar anymore.
Okay.
Have y'all heard the new version of that, by the way?
I
can't remember who sings it now. But
I have one thing to say.
Drink.
Yep.
Okay. So, yeah, we start out with Matt Damon in KGB's place. Trying to get his stake to go to Vegas.
Uh-huh.
And losing everything.
Charm City Devils. Sorry. Anyway. Sorry. Completely random there.
I'm kidding.
Yes, but that's what you are. You are completely random.
Thank you. Okay, you're right. Them in the club, playing their card game. Him explaining to you everybody how he does what he does, which was kind of one of those... I really did expect at some point in this movie, I'm sorry, but at some point in this movie, I expected him to be explaining this to somebody and then pop up and be like, you want me to explain this? I don't know how I fucking do it.
Mm-hmm.
I was just getting tired of the voiceover. Like, around this point, it was like, all right, you're doing way too much voiceover.
Exactly.
Like, I'm really getting really sick of this voiceover.
Yeah, well...
If I needed another voice in my head, I'd stop taking my pills.
The problem, and that's, you know, it is a problem with Rounders, but the reason that I understand the reason they do it, and, you know, I kind of like it, is because when this came out, you know, poker was not the big deal that it is. As a matter of fact, this movie is the reason that poker is as big a deal now as it is. Texas Hold'em in particular. But he, you know, it's a game that most moviegoers aren't familiar with. And so you did kind of have to give, you know, you kind of had to have that running commentary of him doing the voiceovers to really understand a lot of the action, because it's impossible to explain it any other way.
That, and admittedly, the storyline and scenes themselves were so subtle, it had to have somebody sitting there driving a point home, because...
Right. Yeah.
If you're just sitting there at a scene, literally, if you turn off commentary and try to watch this movie, you're going to get very lost very quickly.
Because
you're not going to know what they're saying. You're not going to know what they're talking about. You're not going to know why he's doing half of the stuff he's doing. So I understand why they have to have it. But if you've hit a point where you have to have that much commentary, you are not writing the lines. You're not doing enough work with the scene itself. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, hey, we shot this. We watched it. Shit, doesn't make any sense. Let's add some commentary.
And see, I think it was always intended to have it was always intended to have this voiceover, you know, to make the scenes. Because I really don't think, I really don't see a way to do it without the commentary.
See, now I'm imagining it without the commentary, and it's, these scenes are really, really overly long with no reasoning behind it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
And
it's
that's
really long, quiet with people staring at cards, trying to hold poker faces. Mm-hmm. That's what it is.
And have you ever actually like been
hard.
In a game where no
yes.
one talks?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's so boring.
I've never been in a poker game. Of course, very rarely have I been in a poker game where no one's drinking. So that's a lot of it, I think.
I've been in you know, both kinds where everybody is talking, and I've been in ones where nobody is talking. And I've been in some where, you know, half the people at the table are talking and half the people aren't.
And the ones that aren't are the winners.
No, actually, that was kind of funny. That was one of my best hands ever.
Ah, nice.
Was when I kicked the butt of a guy who was sitting there not talking while I was talking to everyone at the table and drew a straight flush to his ace high flush and took him for everything he had. That was an awesome night. But beside the point.
Drink. We got off on a tangent again.
I don't know. That's kind of a judgment call because poker. I mean,
Carl got off on a tangent.
True. But discussing this movie without discussing poker is completely impossible.
Yeah.
I mean, and that is one thing I will grant this movie is the quasi accuracy of the games themselves.
No, this was really accurate.
As a poker player, he would know.
My issue is the sheer law of, you know, probability in effect. Some of the hands that they got at just the right times, it was
absolutely unnervingly irritating.
No, it's not that. These are representative hands of what you see when you're actually playing. And that was the thing that they got really kudos on.
When you're really playing, you don't get a bunch of jacks and aces. Those were like the only, literally, actually, the cards that got the most face time in this movie were face cards and the ace.
Because those are the because those are the hands that are played. You don't see the hands that are mucked.
Well, yeah, and that was the thing that sort of got me, was they didn't spend enough time really, and this is funny, for spending a whole lot of time sitting around showing nothing, they didn't really show how many times in a game you have to say pass, fold, never mind, I got nothing. Like,
yeah, well, that's
they showed that a couple of times that you can use that to your benefit if you're that good a player, but for the most part it was just
and you know, like I say, you know, they were taking the highlights of games because the games are important to the story and they're moving the story forward, but the games themselves aren't the story.
For example, later in the movie, he says he'll see this guy in 8 hours. He wasn't, according to how the gameplay went, he should have been there at least 2 or 3 hours before his buddy showed up. But it was what, 10 minutes?
Yeah, it cuts across everything.
Oh yeah, they do a lot of time cut.
Yeah. And
I mean, was it 5 days and then it's a montage?
Yeah.
I was like, montage time.
I mean, hell, they go through the montage that they have covers, 3 days?
Okay, I do want to point out, watch this montage scene again, turn the volume all the way down and play Eye of the Tiger.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
Oh, yes. I had that going in my head.
Did you? Okay. I'm glad I wasn't the only one.
Yeah.
Well, then at one point I switched it over to the like that one. That was weird.
Final Countdown.
Yeah.
No, it was the old old timey comedy routine one.
I'm lost. Okay.
That's okay.
I've got an idea of what you're talking about, but I can't hear it in my head because of your da-na-na-na's.
Sorry.
So it's kind of like, okay, I'm lost.
Yeah. But anyway, so we have the big loss, and then, you know, we cut to 9 months later. He's driving Kanisha's truck, doing the delivery, and he's given up. And then he's got to go get Worm out of prison. And we meet Worm.
Yeah.
And
I could have done without meeting
asshole
the
to
rest
start.
Of the entire movie.
I know.
That first 30 seconds.
Yeah.
I get the fact that Worm himself is, you know, obviously the what's the pivot point of this story, I guess would be the...
Deserved his jail time.
Yeah, the whole plot of this story is, you know, him. It's not him coming back to cards. It's him dealing with Worm.
Yeah. But at the same time, and this is a testament to how great Edward Norton is as an actor. You can love him, you can hate him, but he's always going to make you feel what you're supposed to feel.
Yeah.
For him. And he pissed me off so bad that the entire time I'm watching him on screen, I'm thinking, why doesn't he just punch him? Why doesn't he just take his goddamn balls off?
Yeah. And for being, 29. Yeah, he's 29 years old in this movie.
He's a small guy, isn't he?
Yeah, he is.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, Matt Damon's not terribly tall or buff to begin with.
And also, you got to remember, this was one of his, you know, this was one of his two coming out movies. I mean, this is when he became when he started becoming a name, because, you know, this is his fifth movie. And, you know, he's got Only in America, music video, or I guess it's a music video, Primal Fear, The People versus Larry Flynn, Everyone Says I Love You, Rounders, and then American History X and Fight Club, which is when he really became a household name.
Yeah. Although, if you ever get a chance, watch his play in a People versus Larry Flint.
Oh, yeah, he's great in that.
It is awesome. But no, I honestly, when I saw this and knowing him from Fight Club and even People versus Larry Flint, I saw this and I thought, how did he get that skinny? Like, did he actually do drugs to get that skinny?
To get as skinny as he was in
this year. You guys suck ass in that you guys can just stop eating for a couple of days and suddenly look like you're emaciated. Mm-hmm. Whereas poor Lisa and I stop eating for a couple of days and we just get tired. We don't look any different.
Yeah.
So that's just a matter of dehydrate yourself and stop eating fatty foods. Like, eat salads for a while and you'll come out looking like that.
Mm.
Dieting tips.
And you can ask Carl. Earlier this week, I did not eat anything all day, only simply because I forgot and didn't have time. You can ask Carl. I did not look any different. I just looked cranky.
Yes.
Okay, so just for the record, I'm going to test your theory. Like, I'm going to eat nothing but salads for the next week.
Mm-hmm.
And dehydrate yourself.
That also
That's how
counts.
You make your weight in wrestling, running, and all the other sports, is if you dehydrate yourself right before your weigh-in, you make a lower weight class and then just chug water before you have to compete.
Nah, I can't dehydrate myself.
Yeah, that's where you lose the most weight.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on.
Drink.
Sporting tips. Sorry, this doesn't work if you're going to go play a major poker game. Don't dehydrate yourself. Don't bother eating nothing but salads. It's not going to do you any good.
Nope. But, okay, so we've got him meeting Worm and Worm getting him back into the game.
Of course.
And Worm being an asshole. And Worm owing money.
And Worm going to a topless bar.
Mm-hmm. And getting the shit beat out of him.
We find out that the guy who bought him, like, paid off all of his debts while he was in prison, in turn got bought out by KGB.
Oh, no. KGB gave this guy the money to buy up all his debts.
Money to buy him out, that's right.
Yeah.
He went into a partnership with this guy.
Owns him.
Yeah. And, of course, he's not going to tell Mike. And, of course, he's not going to tell Mike this, and Mike's not going to find out until it's way too fucking late.
I love how he's consistently lying to Mike. Even when he does finally tell the truth, he doesn't tell the whole truth.
Yeah, he never tells the whole truth.
Because that's just what he is.
Yeah, and I love how how much Mike owes differs depending on who's talking.
Yeah.
Yeah, that number keeps changing.
Yeah, and it made sense.
And I want to know what their juice rate is.
Okay, didn't we have a number change once before in a movie we did? A while back?
Yes. One that I tried remembering the title to earlier, and
Payback.
I could not flip me. Yes.
Yeah, Payback.
I'm looking at the titles. Yeah. That's the only reason I know which one it was.
Yeah, because it goes from, and, you know, not only that, but it goes, you know, okay, so it was at 25, and Norton, or in, you know, Worm had approximately 10 grand on him, when he got rolled by Grandma, which knocked it down to 15, which is what he told Mike, you know, when he told him that he owed money in, at the club or at the casino.
Yep.
So that made sense. You know, the whole 10 turning in, the 10 that he told Mike to begin with was actually 15, and that 15 turned into 25 with juice, and then it dropped back down to 15. But then Grandma turns around and says it's 25 again, like the when they go see Grandma. And that's what bugged the piss out of me. And then it dropped back down to 15 again.
And all I can say is, who doesn't love the names of these people? Seriously.
It was easier than Grandma. Trying to remember.
Yeah, I love Grandma.
KGB.
Daddy KGB. Like, why was
without that
too.
Red whatever it was he was wearing?
Oh, the flannel one piece.
It
kind
of reminded me of the redneck, this is winter
it is.
Time.
It's those flannel, it's red flannel.
Hey, I had one of those growing up. You can all like.
So did I.
I had people
they
try and make me wear them, but
comfy
I said
as
no.
Hell.
Yeah.
They just look ridiculous.
Yeah, Grandma's wardrobe was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Granted.
And it's funny that Grandma's wardrobe is the most ridiculous, and yet the only wardrobe that gets made fun of is the two Russian guys.
Anyway, so moving on.
Other ones, really.
But yeah, so we're going. So now, you know, we go talk to Grandma, and it's and Mike opens or Worm opens his mouth, which forces Mike to open his mouth, and now it's on Mike too. And we've got 5 days to make 15 grand.
Yeah. And notice the fact that we did skip like 90% of this movie. Just now.
Well, the whole lawyer portion, yeah. Like his girlfriend and having a hard time, and his
and his
professor being a very good mentor and getting in on the judge game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not actually playing it, but getting to see it happen.
Yeah, and that scene is awesome.
Yes.
Yeah, he walks in and he tells everybody what they're holding, pretty much. That was kind of cool.
Yeah, it was really cool. But anyway, so then, like you said, 5 days to make 15 grand.
Mm-hmm. And we go into the montage of, you know, Mike running all, of, you know, Mike running up all these games. And we come out of the montage. It's been like 3 days and he, you know, they're still like only halfway there. So we go out and we're going to go play with the municipal workers.
Yeah.
Which is... A room full of everybody who's ever played a cop, ever. I could name off everybody's movie. I was like, oh, I gotta go look you up. One was from Dexter. That one was, like, creepy.
Mm-hmm.
I just love the fact that, you know, the municipal workers are state cops.
Yeah.
Like, you really didn't think this one.
There were a few city cops, too, weren't there?
No, they were all state police. They were New York State Police. Which is the whole point that Matt Damon makes to him when they get there.
Well, they work for the city. No, state.
Yeah. And then, so, you know, he goes back in and starts, you know, doing his thing again and, you know, getting him out of this. And then Worm comes in and fucks it all up by, you know, running his mechanics bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
And gets them both beat up, stripped, and tossed out. Well, stripped of cash, anyway. And now they've got 24 hours and nothing. So
leads Worm to try to ditch town.
Yeah, Worm takes off, and Mike's going to go back and face the music.
Which, in fairness...
And now Mike finds out that it's actually KGB.
Yeah. And in fairness, I actually thought that, you know, Worm would eventually show back up.
Nope.
In this movie, and it did not go that cliche on me.
No,
so
yeah, I honestly expected Worm to get pulled back in after being, like, tortured for X number of hours, like, at that last scene.
Mm.
Yeah. And so it did not go quite that cliche on me, so I will grant it that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm beginning, I actually do have one question at this point. Was that Worm's entire plan?
What?
Was to run from the beginning. And he just wanted to take his friend with him.
No, I think Worm's entire plan consisted of finding a way to get himself out of this mess. And, you know, because of how Worm acts and operates, he could not get himself out of this mess, and everything he tried was dragging Mike in deeper. And so he finally reached the point where he didn't see a way out other than to run.
But he actually, I see Lisa's point, because he does, and he pretty much lays his plan out at the very beginning when Mike takes him to the Insider Club and lends him, well, quote unquote, lends him $2,000 to start. He takes him out and he goes and gets a hot dog, and he pretty much, they explain right then and there that Worm's style is to pretty much play everything and everyone as hard as they can until he makes his name on all the books and everybody's out to get him, and then skips town.
Mm-hmm.
That's his play style. That's what he does.
He runs and hides. He sees a mark, he takes it down, and if the heat gets too hard, he runs and hides.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So Lisa's right. He did kind of have this plan from the beginning, because let's face it, that was inevitably going to happen one way or another.
Yeah. The problem was is that, you know, he doesn't think that way, so he didn't realize that, you know, what he was doing was causing his problems.
Anyway, moving on into the Teddy KGB game, which is my favorite scene of the whole movie.
Yeah.
Because Teddy KGB makes this movie. I'm sorry, he does.
He kind of does. Yeah, like,
as long as he's not hip thrusting or eating Oreos.
Like the last time I stick it to you. Anyway. But, you know, I love when he finally learns how to play Teddy KGB.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, okay, I'm just going to tell him.
Yeah, I'm going to rattle his cage so that I can, so, you know, he's going, because that happens. You rattle a poker player like that, and they will end up going on tilt and losing a shit ton. I mean, that's the whole reason it's called going on tilt. So, and, you know, like he said, he didn't have time to, you know, take it from him a little bit at a time. He had to rattle him and seriously start making inroads. And that's what he did.
Still, it was kind of cool. And something about him throwing the Oreos against the wall was just awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just glad he was going to leave them alone.
Yeah. He didn't pick them up and start eating them.
Pre-recording show, I seriously expected him to start having a conversation with the Oreos.
Mm-hmm. What do you think I should do? Do you think I should fold? Here, let me eat you for a moment.
Rod, don't ever do that again, no. Please.
No.
I love it. I love it. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, and then we have, so, you know, Matt Damon cleans out KGB, wins, and then we have another moment of bad math.
Yes.
Because, and anybody who...
Another moment of bad math.
Anybody who's following this...
when did we stop?
Okay, anybody who's following this realizes he walks in with 10,000, and they sit down with 10,000 each, and Mike wins it all. That's 20,000, right? They sit back down again, and Mike doubles his money again. That's 40,000. Somehow that turned into 60.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, they did a lot of bad number math.
Yeah.
Throughout the whole entire movie. Even my math wasn't that bad.
That was the one thing I realized. I was like, yes, I have a degree in mathematics. There's a reason I never took it in finance. Because money math sucks. Want to know why it sucks? Because people suck. Uh-huh. Anytime you put a dollar sign around a number, it suddenly changes miraculously. Doesn't matter if it's in a movie or in real life. It just suddenly, if there's a dollar sign associated with that number, it's not going to be the same number.
It grows exponentially.
Mm-hmm.
It just, exponentially is a nice, you know, reliable increase of value. This shit's just...
Sometimes it grows too exponentially.
Mm-hmm. Not
even
Are we
that.
Still talking about movie right, about money right now? Sorry.
Drink, Rod's thinking about sex. Oh, wait, that's not in the drinking game, is it?
No. If you'd like it added to the drinking game.
No. We're
if you have any other suggestions to the drinking
game. We're encouraging recreational drinking, not alcoholism.
Not alcohol poisoning?
Exactly.
Okay. Moving on completely.
Yes, please.
That's pretty much our roundtable, I believe.
That's pretty much our roundtable.
2 weeks for Vegas. Yay.
He wins and leaves for Vegas. Spoiler alert. Oh, wait. Yeah. That in the wrong order.
Major spoiler.
Right. Once again, I just have to remind you, if you are listening to our show and have never seen the movie, what the fuck are you doing?
Go turn us off, go watch the movie, back. Then come back. We'll still be here.
Yeah. It doesn't matter now, but we screwed it for you. It was
There's a few things, like that story about John that we didn't mention.
Yeah. And remember, any complaints that you have, send them in the form of email to inthebufffilms@gmail.com in order to get your own personal Rog's rant. Mm-hmm. Okay. So,
maybe that'll get somebody to answer us. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The promise that they're going to get bitched out by me?
Mm.
That'll work.
No, the promise that they'll get their rant. Email read on the show. How's that?
Yeah, that'll work.
I'll read all the emails on the show.
Yeah, read the emails on the show, and I'll...
And you'll rant about the and you'll rant on the show.
There you go. Okay. So moving away from roundtable, let's do best buffed first today. Scully, would you like to start us out? Holy crap!
Hmm.
Yeah, that was the short. Yeah, we now have a new award.
No, I'm sorry. What? Like lightning struck like really hard, like really bright, not too far from the house.
Oh,
it shocked me. Because I'm in a completely black room, and then all of a sudden, boom! The whole thing was lit up. I apologize about that. Scully, best buffed.
I actually don't have any for this one. The only one... Okay, so technically I did have one for this one. This one... It relates closely to a book that I'd read called Bringing Down the House. So you get the buff that is, the book was better.
Nice. Okay, fair enough. Lisa.
For the third time in exactly 1 year, I don't have a best buffed. Sorry, no. Folks.
All right. Carl?
Do yours first.
Do mine first. Really?
Yep.
Why is this? Never mind. You'll explain it in a minute. Okay, so I'm giving this movie the Bluff This Award for Awesome Poker. I am giving Edward Norton the Son of a Stick Award. And I am giving the Being Awesome John Malkovich Award to this movie because only John Malkovich can play motherfucking John Malkovich. Anyway, okay, Carl?
Okay, I am going to give this the Movies in the Buff Award for Shortest Roundtable Ever. That goes to the episode. And as far as rounders, I am giving this an award for the best thing to happen to poker since chips.
Really?
And I will explain that.
Okay. No, I
know you. I know you kind of have an idea of why I'm saying that, but I will explain that to people who don't. Okay. This movie, you know, everything that Mike does, you know, for a lot of this movie is about, you know, being good enough to sit at the main table of the World Series of Poker, right? This movie is what actually made the World Series of Poker as big as it has, as big as it's become. The year that this movie, or the World Series is played in April. This movie came out in November. The World Series immediately after this movie came out had 393 contestants. Okay. Which is less than 100, it's an increase of less than 100 over the entire decade of 1990s.
Uh-huh.
3 years after this movie came out, an accountant won the World Series of Poker, and he became interested in playing poker because of this movie. And that year, there were 800 contestants. 3 years after he won, there were 8,773 entrants, and the main pot was $12 million.
Jeez.
That is what rounders did for the game of poker. This is the best thing. That was the best thing to happen to poker since chips.
See, I was going to make a joke about the old TV show, but I actually couldn't remember anybody who played in it.
No.
So it didn't turn out. I'm trying to remember the name of the guy with the really white teeth, but it's not coming to me.
Yeah.
So anyway,
that's why I wanted to do mine last, because it was going to take a little bit of explanation. So that was best buffed. and I think we may have lost Rod.
Yeah, I'm like, that's definitely a lost Rod.
There goes Rod. Yay, now I'm going to have to cut again. I hate having to do edits.
Yeah, so far I'm the only person who's mentioned this is our year anniversary.
That's true.
Yeah.
This is our 1 year anniversary. Congratulations, we made it a year. And fuck it, I'm not doing any more edits. This is live to hard drive, people. Knew I was going to get a giggle from Scully out of that.
I just like the phrase live to hard drive.
I know.
Because really, when did that phrase ever come out? Oh, wait, once podcasting came around. So this is a phrase that, as cute and as catchy as it is, has really only been around for like 5 years.
Maybe a
little bit longer than that, but... Well, let's face it, previous podcasting was done very traditionally as a radio recording, mm-hmm. So there was a lot of editing done, and it only, you know, as it got older, developed and matured to being, you know, screw it, you get to listen to us as we talk. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Scully, I'm blaming you. I'm eating chips because you mentioned Pringles.
See? And that was the worst part was when Carl said, you know, the greatest thing to happen to poker since chips. And I'm like, I really want sour cream and onion.
Ooh. You get kudos for sharing my favorite brand of chips. Sour cream and onion Pringles.
No, I like sea salt and vinegar.
Those are good chips.
Ooh. Vinegar chips. Ugh. Yeah.
Mm. Okay, Rod. So we decided we're not cutting that. And we did make mention of the fact, Lisa pointed out that she's the only one who mentioned that this is our 1 year anniversary.
Yeah.
So, congratulations, we've made it a year. Drink.
Yes. 1 year anniversary and
drink out the champagne.
You know, if the Mayans are right, it'll be the last episode we ever record and it'll never air. So,
there we go. Oh, and by the way, Scully, as far as adding to the drinking game, we need to add every time Rod's call gets dropped. Because, fuck it, I'm not editing this shit out.
No, you don't. You need to do, as soon as the call gets dropped, drink until it gets back on.
That might not be necessary. I mean, that would be alcohol poisoning. We don't want that.
All right. Lisa, would you like to do your buff quote?
Oh, she's got her mouth full.
I said chips, she wants to eat chips.
And by the way, I just have to say, if my call drops and I don't come back...
It's because the power went out?
It's the power went out because the storm is getting like really bad, like tornado warning bad.
Oh, fun.
So, yeah.
It'll hit us tomorrow.
Speaking of which, has anybody seen the trailers for Oz, the Great and Powerful?
No, not yet.
No.
Watch it. It looks actually pretty good.
Now, Rod, I can do my best buffed, or my buff quote.
Okay, go ahead.
You can't lose what you don't put in the middle.
That's true.
Which is true.
That's true. Okay, Carl.
Yeah, my best quote? This girl is obviously wrapped way too tight for living.
Uh-uh.
Did you say wet?
Wet?
This girl is obviously wrapped way too tight for living.
This girl is wet way too tight. Wow. Thank you, Scully.
Sorry, I was like, please say that was Skype.
Yes, Skype is the one who said wet.
Yeah, I wanted to make sure you didn't and Lisa didn't miss hitting you for it.
Although, speaking of wet, we did actually skip over... Our like and dislike.
We did. Yeah. Like, I was going to say it. And
then...
That's okay. I think everybody's figured out that we all like this movie. Am I wrong?
I like Rounders. I don't say I would be fully hard for it, but it is a good movie. Nope. I could watch it again.
Nope.
Okay.
Okay, so anyway, Scully.
I'd just go nuts if I had to watch it again.
Oh, this is like the 12th time I've seen this movie. I've seen this movie a ton. I love this movie. So...
Scully, quote, before Carl has a mangasm.
Nah.
If you can't, no kidding. If you can't spot the sucker in the first half hour at the table, then you are the sucker.
Okay, I'm the sucker.
Yes, Rod, you are. I've played poker with you.
Yeah, no, I'm the sucker. Not gonna lie, I'm horrible at it.
Hey, okay, you guys know that scene in the Taj when the tourists are sitting down at the table? And he starts talking about, you know, they're just completely out of their depth. This is Rod sitting down to play poker with me.
Yeah, it really was.
It was terrible.
I played
terrible.
One game of poker with Carl and decided I'm never playing.
Yeah,
so anyway,
I can play poker with Carl, but I cannot play trivia games with Carl.
Anyway, okay, so my quote. All right, Mr. Son of Bitch, let's play cards. I loved Teddy KGB. Like, he made the movie for me.
I know. And God, your Russian accent needs to work. Oh, hey, and
please.
Speaking of Russian, one thing I do want to mention about this movie that I forgot about in the roundtable. Okay, Netflix subtitles really need some work. Because they seriously screwed up in a lot of places, which I've seen them do before. But they never... he says one line twice in Russian that they always try to translate... or they always tried to subtitle as something in English. And it's really funny because it's a Russian curse. And they kept trying to make it something else.
Well, you know, Netflix subtitles actually work under the same software as, like, your Google Speak.
Mm-hmm.
On phones and things like that.
I kind of get that.
Yeah. But Cuba.
Yeah. But, yeah. Okay. For those of you who watch this on Netflix and have no idea what I'm talking about, the phrase is Yabtoyo Mat. And
anyway.
Does anyone here other than me know what that means literally?
I do, but that's only because you told me.
Yeah. Scully?
Nope. Polish was my family language.
Okay. Yabtoyo Mat is Russian for literally go fuck your mother.
Well, nice.
Yeah.
Okay. That's
mater. So mat is just short.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so moving on. Let's see, all we've got left is mental debuff. Oh no, I'm sorry.
We have questions.
Yeah.
Are you playing with your Willy? Sorry. Okay, so Scully, you want to start us off?
Sure. So I guess I should just point this out at the end of this movie, well, several times through the movie, how much do you win when you win the World Poker Tournament?
$1 million.
Yeah, I heard Carl first.
Yeah.
And interestingly enough, although he says that, the prize for the World Series of Poker is based on the number of entrants, and it was only $1 million in the 90s. And after this movie shot up dramatically. Like this movie, this year that the movie came out was the last year that it was $1 million, but it had been for the past 10 years.
Okay.
Nah. How much was Barbara's cut from the
15%?
25% and $300.
Yep. Carl got it again.
Oh, you wanted the 300?
No, that's it. That was the whole thing.
Well, because Lisa had the right percentage and she beat me, but I did say what the amount was.
I heard you first on it, though. This is how my Skype
is. That's because he controls the call, so his is the first ping to go through.
Okay, I'll let Lisa have that one because I heard her start saying it first.
All right.
All right,
it's called Skype lag.
Okay, I was trying to decide which one of these I wanted to ask first. When you first see Mike getting, the first time he goes up against KGB, what does the clock say it is?
Oh, I don't even remember saying a clock. I'm going to go with...
I'm going to say 2 o'clock.
I'm going to say 9 o'clock.
Scully?
I remember where the hour hand is. I'm trying to remember where the minute hand is. It's 7:15, 7:10.
It was either 10 till 5 or 10:25. I couldn't see which
minute
which one is the little one. But I could see where the two hands were pointing.
That's Carl.
No?
Carl is the little one.
Well, very funny.
Sorry. Couldn't help.
Nope.
And for the record, that was not a penis joke. Get your minds out of the gutter, people. I know what you were thinking, Scully.
Actually, you were the only one thinking it.
Yeah, no, you really were. I was really not.
Yes, Rod. Huh. That was the hammer is my penis. That was your equivalent to that.
Ah, fair enough.
Okay. Okay.
Hello, future episode.
Yep.
Mike accuses Worm for hiding out. How long?
Might be loud.
How long does Mike say that Worm's been hiding? Was hiding out?
Mm-hmm. His whole life.
For like a year, I think is what she's asking for.
That was the right one.
Yeah, he hid from the kid for like a year.
Oh.
Until a trash can fell on his head.
That's right. Okay, so Carl.
Yeah. Okay, let's see. And score check. It's Scully 1, Lisa 1, me 2?
I think so.
Okay. Let's see. Okay, when Mike is going through the apartment gathering up his steak at the beginning of this movie, part of his steak is hidden in a book. What's the name of the book?
And I knew you were going to ask that. I remember it was Red.
Wait.
No, it wasn't. It
wasn't of War.
The book was Red.
Do what, Rod?
Art of War.
No.
It was a classic, and I can't remember the name of it now.
And no, Lisa, the book was not Red.
Yes, it was. Brown leatherback. She was reading a red book.
Yeah, she was reading a red book. And the book was actually gray cover. But anyway, Scully?
Shit. It was an Ichi, wasn't it?
No. Scully?
No. I remember. Crap. Because there were too many books and I started writing them down and I just gave up on it. I want to say that one was Moby Dick.
No. In fact, it was not a. It was not a classic at all. Well, it is a classic, but it's a classic book on poker. It's Doyle Brunson's Super System.
That's right. It was, and I read that in the freaking trivia. And I just now remember that. Just as you were saying that, I was like, oh, fuck.
Okay. One of the major supporting characters that we completely skipped over, Martin Landau, the Professor Petrovsky. When he was 12 years old, what did he have a 40-year-old's understanding of?
I don't know how to pronounce that.
Get
I know.
I don't even remember that one.
Started with a Y. Yavichi?
No, and the word you're looking for is not the correct answer either.
I really can't pronounce it.
Can you get close?
I can tell you what the book is.
I could probably tell you the equivalent.
I remember that they're scrolls. So they're all the scrolls written in Hebrew, and I'm trying to remember. These ones were the ones from the Life of Moses, from post saving of the Jews from Egypt.
Okay, if you can give me the first letter of what you're trying of the word you're trying to mispronounce, I will tell you if you're even close.
You do realize in Hebrew CH sounds like an H, right? What's the first letter? G. It's in a Hebrew dialect, so I don't know what the name of it is.
No,
sounds like an H,
like
so
an
I'm
H.
Gonna
it's
go with
Chanukah.
An H.
No.
Yeah.
Hunter. Rod, anything?
No.
Okay.
I don't remember this conversation at all, actually.
It's the Midrash.
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 Would that be the equivalent of the Bible?
No. The equivalent of the Bible and what Scully was trying to think of, I believe, is the Torah. Or the Torah and the Talmud.
No, the Torah is the entire history of... it's essentially the equivalent of the
first half of the Bible. Yeah,
it's the first half of the Bible.
It's their entire Bible. It's the first.
It is Old Testament. There we go.
It's the Jewish equivalent of the Old Testament. But yeah, what they said he had a 40-year-old's understanding of was the Midrash, which is a.
We just lost like all of our Jewish listeners. I just want y'all to understand this.
1-star reviews.
I know.
Drink.
Anyway, okay, so.
Wasn't that your second question?
That was my second question.
Which makes it my turn. Okay. At one scene, now I thought this was weird because we're in New York, but only in one scene was there ever a cab. Name the prices from top to bottom on the cab.
Oh, ouch.
Here's the first price. Fuck you very much.
Yeah, no.
Come on, numbers, girl.
Oh, no, no. By that time, I was like, just yay, I'm glad it's over.
Okay. I'm going to go with $1.25, $2, $3, and $5. I know the scene. It's the very last scene of the movie, but I cannot picture what the numbers were.
Yeah, I can picture the fact it was...
He says good luck, at which point he says, at this point I realize that luck, and then he just keeps going. I'm like, yay, it's over.
Okay, for the record, I could not read what each, you know, price was for on the cab, simply because of the fact that my resolution on my TV sucks. Mm-hmm. So when I was able to read the numbers from top to bottom, it's 10, 20, 20, 10. Yep.
Okay.
Hey, nobody got that one.
Tell me step by step how Teddy ate his first Oreo in the movie.
He picked it up. Ugh. He looked at it. He turned his head so that it was next to his ear, opened it, looked at it again, and then stuck one piece after another into his mouth.
Ugh.
Jeez, Carl. Way too much attention to Teddy.
No, it was important. It was important to the movie because that was his tell. The fact that he turned to listen to the Oreo snap was his tell for having a good hand.
However, for the record, even though I'm going to give this to you because it was the first one of him on camera, the first Oreo he eats in the movie actually is you can see him as they're walking in. He just picks one up and takes a bite of it. But because that's the first one of him where the camera's actually focused on him, I'll give it to you.
Okay.
Again, never going to eat another Oreo for a very, very long time.
Yeah.
You'll be over it. You'll be over it by next week.
The only thing I could say is...
No.
The only thing I can say is dunk it.
Hey, Scully, it could be worse. They could be candy cane Oreos.
Yeah, those ones I have not had this year, not inclined to have them this year. Pretty much most cookies at this point, I'm pretty much... not going to be eating this
speaking
year.
Of really to,
do you have another question? Like, oh, wait, no, you don't. Never mind.
I don't. Carl is the winner for the record. But speaking of really disturbing phrases, the guys at work have come up with a new one that's just movies in the buff level disturbing.
What is it?
Okay.
Just lift the moo moo and go. Yes.
Oh. I lost my appetite.
Oh.
For the record, what that actually means. Is
when I don't want to know what that means.
No, it's actually
it's
actually nothing sexual. What it is when somebody's in front of you in traffic and you can't get around them and they're going way too damn slow. It's in reference to the old cartoons. Where you lift up the, you know, they lift up their dress and just eat their
and run. Yeah.
But when it started,
like petticoat.
Yeah. But yeah, somebody made that comment. It's like, oh, come on.
Okay.
Okay, so Carl is the winner. Would you like to ask your audience question now?
Yes, and let's see. Okay. Who is Mike McDermott's favorite actor?
That's a good one. I think I remember that one. Anyway, okay.
I always misremember it and right as he says it.
So, Lisa and Scully tied, am I correct?
I believe so, yes.
Hey, Lisa, would you like to go ahead?
Worm says that one of the guards' nephew has a game. What was the nephew's name?
Oof. I would not have gotten that one had you asked.
I would have gotten close, I think, but I can't remember if I would have gotten it right or not.
Anyway, Scully?
After they get beat up by the cops, how much money does Worm say he actually has, and where is it it located?
Oh, nice. Oh,
wow. Actually, I do, too.
I would have got that one.
Anyway, that's why it's an audience question, Rod.
Yep.
Exactly. I should start getting the audience question. I should start playing the children's version of this game. Anyway, no, I just need to get time where I can actually pay attention to them when I'm not doing three other things. Anyway, okay, so my audience question. No, no kidding. What hand of cards did Mike use to lose to Teddy KGB?
Ooh. I know that one.
Yep, I do too. But
I even know the suits, but...
I do too, actually. Like, I noticed that, and I was like, I'm going to ask... No, Carl, I'll get that in a second.
Uh-huh.
Audience question.
Carl knows that way too much, because the first time Carl watched this movie, he couldn't remember what the card... He couldn't keep track of the cards, so I could not... It took me, like... The second time I watched this, I had to pay attention to the cards that he's holding, the cards on the table, to understand how KGB beat him. Because I didn't get it the first time.
All right, so now we go into mental debuff, and it is Carl's on the right to go first.
Yeah, okay, you know what? I'm just going to say screw mental debuff this time, because I want to play some fucking poker. Like I always do after I watch this movie.
You're so screwed. You know that, right?
I know. I'd have to play online.
Right about it is I know Brad's not going to listen to this before you know we come over, and Brad's always up to play cards, and he's easier to beat than I am.
I know. I've played cards with you and Brad before.
So anyway, okay. So Lisa.
Okay. Texas Hold'em is still confusing as hell, and that just had. Yes, granted it needed it, but it still had too many voiceovers. I'm done. Moving on.
I completely agree with that. I hated the voiceovers, for the record. That was really horrible. You know when I talk about how you know voiceovers ruin openings to movies? This is what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
It just ruined the entire movie. It went through the entire thing, ruining it in its path.
Gully.
Mental debuff on this is, yay, congratulations. It's the equivalent of watching a sports movie, except unlike a sports movie, I don't think they really repeated any of their slang terms for any of their stuff more than a couple of times. I'm pretty sure they used every slang for poker in the book, with very, very few repeats. Yeah, this is like watching a football movie. Congratulations.
Wow, I could think of a better football movie to watch.
Oh, no.
Exactly.
I agree.
What the fuck is that?
I agree with her. It is like watching a sports movie for a sport that you're not interested in, or for a sport mm-hmm. you don't know much about. The difference is that, you know, this one actually takes the time to explain the sport. Because
yeah.
it knows that a lot of people don't know the sport.
Yes.
Go with a little less explanation.
Boring to watch.
Yeah, it really, I mean... I liked the movie, and I could watch it again, but I'd really have to be in the mood for it.
Yeah,
I can handle not watching it for another year.
Anyway.
Or more.
Carl lost out on this one. Still wasn't as bad as Heather's, man. I'll give you this.
Gully,
oh,
I was...
yeah. I will definitely give you that. It was definitely not as bad as Heather's.
And it was way better than Crybaby.
Scully, I really wish that you'd been with us from the beginning, because I could really use some backup on this whole Heather's debacle.
I'm pretty sure I'm going to be siding with everyone else on that one.
Ah, yes. Fuck you guys. I'm going home.
I'm finished watching it.
You are home.
Mm. Screw you guys. I'm going home.
Hey, that's not for a couple of weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway.
Hello,
okay.
Future episodes.
Yes. So now it's time for Rod's Rants. And I'm doing a very special version today. Unfortunately, I did not have time to do something before we started recording the episode, so it's not going to be as good as I'd hoped. But here we go. Excuse me. Tonight I have been asked to comment on Rounders. I thought the film was excellent. Just like the first time I saw it. You called it Goodwill Hunting, I called it the first time I stick it in you. You know how I fuck with your own money? But couldn't they find a decent fucking camera angle? This is not television. Over two-shot bullshit. This should not be used. And since we're on bad angles, how fucking skinny was Edward Norton? Give him a fucking Oreo. Till that sexy slutty bitch is very sexy. And very slutty. Thank you for your time. All right, Mr. Son of Bitch, let's play cards. Yeah, it would have been so much better if I could actually have listened to the accent before I did this.
Yeah, I was going to say, it would be so much better if you could do John Malkovich playing a Russian.
So disturbing.
It was so
disturbing.
It was, Oh, crap. God. I just blanked out on the phrase. Scully, what's the phrase for when something's too real and it's eerie?
For something that's too real, because I would not describe either those as to what just happened.
No, the whole thing, and we just lost Rod again, so drink. the deal with Uncanny Valley. That's what I'm thinking of. Yeah, it was very Uncanny Valley, John Malkovich, Teddy KGB.
Exterminate!
Oh, yeah. Lisa's voice started acting up the other day, and she was able to do the Dalek.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
Can you get some more in there, Lisa, while we're waiting on Rod to come back?
Exterminate. It just dropped completely. Sorry. That was a complete fail.
That's a cold. No, the, Cybermen are way more entertaining.
Yes, and I wish I could do that voice. I would love to.
Yes. Actually, there was a guy, the actor, it's so creepy. When you see interviews with actors from the old Doctor Who's, you can peg the ones who were Daleks because they still talk that way.
What just happened? The last thing I heard was so disturbing, and then... Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was the phrase I was looking for earlier, Rod, was Uncanny Valley, but then Lisa threw in her Dalek impersonation while you were gone, which, Lisa? Oh.
Exterminate!
Wow.
You have to watch Doctor Who.
Yeah, I guess so. I've never seen the show.
Lose.
Yeah,
those stone angels creep me the fuck out.
Yes. It is definitely one of those things that is on my list. I haven't gotten to it. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that would be Rounders in the Buff.
Yep.
And our first anniversary episode. So thank you, Buffers, from the bottom of our hearts and any other part that you might want to be imagining right now, for sticking with
us. Just hearts, please.
No, just I'm like, no,
just their hearts.
What the hell are y'all complaining about? The other parts I'm mentioning, they're imagining, are on y'all.
That's why we have a problem with it.
Oh, come on. It's true power to be wanted by the world. Anyway, but definitely, Buffers, thank you so much for sticking with us and through all of our problems.
And join us next week as we kick off our second year of Movies in the Buff with...
Dr. Horrible. And all I can say about this is, I've got a theory that we'll be buffing Dr. Horrible. It will be fucking awesome.
That was awesome.
The sad part is I literally just made that up.
That was better than that. That's better than like the last half dozen Rod's rants right there.
Anyway, and for the record, that was not a song from Dr. Horrible. That was a song from the Buffy musical revamped for Dr. Horrible, which is done by Joss Whedon. And basically, the concept of this movie is going to be that, or it was. That during the writer's strike, Whedon went to prove that they could make a feature-length film for very little cost and put it up for free.
Mm-hmm. And they did.
Money of it, and they did. And once again, Joss Whedon throws everything in the face of society and says, rethink your shit. And I love it. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so definitely join us next week. And some upcoming episodes, it looks like we got Hellboy, Rosencrantz, and Guildstern are dead, which Scully is promising is going to be an awesome movie. I pray that we're not let down.
It's going to be an interesting movie. It is definitely a far flung from what type of movies we've done previously. This is postmodern, so all of the movie buffers who like postmodern stuff and have watched like all of the Run Lola Runs and everything, this is right up your alley.
Fair enough. We also have South Park Bigger, Longer, and Uncut right after that. So for those of you who got completely, you know, mind blown by the Rosencrantz movie, you do have South Park Bigger and Longer and Uncut right afterwards. So we'll definitely get back into the toilet.
Yeah.
And but definitely join us. And thank you so very much. Good night, and keep watching those movies in the buff. It's just better that way.
Good night.
Hey, Buffers. Don't forget to check out our new website, moviesinthebuff.com, and like us on Facebook and Google+, or follow us on Twitter at moviesinthebuff. You can also follow your team of debauchery, me at Rod the Golden.
At Scully44.
At Kith Kanan.
And at A Corner Witch.
You can email us at inthebufffilms@gmail.com.
Movies in the Buff is now also available on Stitcher Smart Radio. Find out more at Stitcher.com or download the app today.
Movies in the Buff is distributed under a Creative Commons
Attribution,
Non-Commercial,
No Derivatives,
3.0 U.S. license.